Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast. I'm Pat Boyle from NBC Sports Chicago, and I am joined by Tracy Myers, our insider at what is the new website, NBCSportsChicago.com?
I think so, yes. Let's go with that. I'm new to this, too.
So if we mention those three other letters somehow, don't hold that against us.
Just try not to say CSI Chicago at this point.
There you go. Well, the season finally gets underway, Tracy, on Thursday night on NBC Sports Chicago. 7:30 faceoff. Blackhawks taking on the two-time defending champion Pittsburgh Penguins. And we will see Alex DeBrincat in that lineup. I think both of us from prospects camp were like, hey, I think he's going to start in Rockford, get some seasoning. They'll bring him up along the way. But boy, oh boy, he's turned a lot of heads. Mm-hmm. And as of Tuesday, he was on the third line with Patrick Sharp and Artem Anisimov.
Yeah, first of all, here's my disclaimer, and I say this often in my career, but here's one more time. I was wrong. Listen, I was playing to percentages because it's a hell of a jump, and, you know, he'll go through his ups and downs because you haven't seen a player yet who hasn't, but really impressed with what he's been able to do. And, you know, part of it is probably as much experience as he's gotten in the OHL and playing as much as he did this past year, you know, and he wanted to go back. Wanted to get better defensively, played basically an NHL schedule in the past year, really, when you look at how much he played.
And this summer, I mean, there was no downtime for this kid.
There was no downtime for him, so this season, you know, if he ends up going all 82, we'll see how that goes. But that's not going to be a shock. And neither will constant line changes, because what he was just telling me is that, you know, our coach, and that would be Chris Knobloch, who's not there anymore, he said whenever he felt like trying new things, he did. And so line changes, the Q line blender will not be new to him. He's already gone through that a little bit. I still won't be surprised if we see him on that second line again, because I think that's more his speed. I thought that combination was really good.
Yeah, I thought it was too, but I think it was Joel being smart, knowing that Pittsburgh is going to come in and focus on the Kane line. Let's get the rookies' feet wet with a little less defensive attention, not have everything magnified, put them on a third line with Anisimov and Sharp, and let Ryan Hartman, who has already spent a full season in the National Hockey League and who's going to go to those dirty areas, just let him deal with the defending champs on opening night. Sure. I think this is Q being smart.
It is, and we all talk. He likes to spread the wealth as much as possible, also on those lines and everything. And then the one concern that I think we did have about that second line was, okay, that's not the biggest line that's out there, going back to what you said. So, no, I wouldn't doubt we see it at some point. I know he wants to get as much balance among the lines as possible, and this certainly lends to that. So, I'm very interested to see how this rolls out on Thursday.
So he makes the jump, Alex DeBrincat, from the OHL right to the National Hockey League, just like a certain guy who wears a certain number 88, Patrick Kane, did back in the day. Talking to Patrick Sharp after practice today, he brought up the great point, because I said, you know, at prospects camp, he just looked, DeBrincat looked like a guy out there.
Yeah.
He said, Pat, you would be surprised if you saw Patrick Kane's first practice back in prospects camp. When he was with the team, there was talk like, oh, he's not ready. That body's not going to be able to take it. And then they had their first preseason game, and he was the best player on the ice. And then eventually get called up. So there's a lot of comparisons that are going to be made. But maybe, you know, maybe he just needed to see what they expected of him. And then spent the rest of the summer really honing in on what they said, the defensive side of the game. And look, he's got a knack for even though he plays bigger than his size, mm-hmm. and the puck seems to find him.
Right. I think it's part that, and how much is it also, not to say that you're not going to be trying hard in July and everything, but September is the real time.
Yeah.
Then you know, okay, yeah, we've got, you know, I've got to prove myself here and everything. And that's when you really put everything together. You know, also, was he a little worn out in July? Because, again, look at how much he had played and everything. He'd played up through, I don't know when the Memorial Cup ended. I think it was the end of May. Might have even been
No, it was in June, I believe.
It was June.
Yeah.
So, basically, it was like he was in the NHL playoffs, except the OHL. So, he showed it when it was absolutely necessary. You know, because out of prospect camp, you knew he was going to be here. You knew he was going to get a fighting shot. So, and in terms of, you know, you were talking about the comparison with Kane. I hope what people will do, and I actually talked to Ryan Hartman about this last year when he was being compared to Andrew Shaw all the time. I said, wouldn't you like to just be known for what you do yourself? And he said, you know, Shaw got that. I hope I do too. And I hope people do the same thing with DeBrincat. This is Alex DeBrincat. It's not a Patrick Kane clone. It's not the next Patrick Kane. Just let him be him and see what he does, because up to this point, he's done it very well.
Anything you took away else from the DeBrincat conversation that you had with him?
You know, I asked him if he'd, you know, talked to some of the other guys who have preceded him from the OHL and into the NHL, and he said not really, but he has been talking a lot with former teammate Dylan Strome, who hopefully is making the team out in Arizona. And so for him, he said, you know, it was kind of nice to have that other guy who's going through the same stuff I am, you know, just getting to know different guys and getting to know the city and am I going to make it? Am I not going to make it? You know, there's some pressures that only another guy in that position is going to understand. And so he's been able to kind of bounce things off him. And I'm sure it's been beneficial for Mr. Strome also, but yeah, he was just talking about how much that's helped him these last 2 weeks.
With Sidney Crosby and the Penguins coming to town on Thursday night, they actually open up their defense of their cup on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. The comparisons are there, and this isn't just media-driven. You know, the question of historical significance mm-hmm. between the Penguins and the Blackhawks. Now, you know, the Pens won in 2009. Mm-hmm. The Hawks won in 2010. Obviously, 13 and 15. And then the last two have gone to the Penguins. So they sort of, from 2010 to 2015, kind of had to reinvent themselves a little bit. Asking the guys in the room, are they aware of kind of the historical perspective and you know, who's considered the top team of the 2000s? To a man in that Blackhawks dressing room, they all said, yeah, and we want to be considered, you know, the top dogs. What was your take from your conversations?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the success that both of them have had, and there's a lot of similarities. It's a great core, followed by a wonderful supporting cast. Look at the 2013-15 bottom six. You know, it's not just always the core guys. Yeah, you need a hell of a core. And, you know, both teams have it. But you need those guys who are going to be there to kill off a penalty. Or you need those guys to, you know, play some defense down the stretch. Or
to get you through an injury like Pittsburgh had.
To get you through overtimes and, yeah. You know, all this. You need those unsung guys who kind of come up and realize it's not just about the top six. It goes back to that Mike Babcock quote that we have all used incessantly since 2013. Most of the time, the top two lines cancel out.
Right.
Who are your third and fourth line guys? Your depth is what you need to get you through everything, and both teams absolutely have benefited off of that with their success.
You look at the Penguins, and you look at some of those role guys last mm-hmm. year. It would be Guentzel. It would be Connor Sheary. It yeah. would be Rust. And talking to Joel, you know, I said, is it time for your young guys to, you know, emerge as, you know, not just new guys, but mm-hmm. guys that can be counted on? And yeah. he went right away to Nick Schmaltz as, mm-hmm. you know, great rookie season. He now looks ready to, you know, make his impact on the league. Certainly Hartman would be in that conversation.
Yep.
Tanner Caro to a degree. Mm-hmm. John Hayden wasn't here very long last season after he left Yale. But, you know, he will be also the guy to make that next step. So, you know, just I think we're going to get away from, you know, are you ready for the NHL? Are you ready to get your feet wet? And are you ready to be an everyday NHL player that's going to contribute and make an impact?
The training wheels are off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's you look again through the history of the Blackhawks and who's been that guy who's stepped up and been big in the postseason and everything. You know, look at how Andrew Shaw emerged from this young, scrappy guy to that guy you absolutely needed in the playoffs and who,
as Joel said, irreplaceable.
Yeah, and you know what? They missed that last year.
Oh, they
there's
certainly
no
did.
Doubt they no missed question. That last year. So, no, there's no doubt. You know, everybody knows what's expected now. And they just have to step off from here.
So it's a daunting schedule to start. First eight games are against teams that were in the playoffs a year ago. Yeah. And, you know, look, you know, you don't look past the Nashville Predators, who were the last team to get in the West last year as a wild card and obviously get to the Stanley Cup Finals. So every point, even though we're talking October, it matters.
Yeah.
And, you know, with this team still kind of finding themselves, especially defensively, this is a tough way to start the season with eight games against teams that were in the dance last year. And, oh, by the way, they got better in the offseason.
I have a feeling that this year the Blackhawks are going to need what they got at the beginning of last year, which was an outstanding Corey Crawford.
Yep.
That tremendously helped bridge the gap. You know, when everybody – we look last year in hindsight, especially in hindsight, you know, it's a beautiful thing. You know, once we got to the end of the season, you look back in October and it's like, wow, why were they so good at that time? Well, a lot of it was Crawford. Crawford was fantastic.
He was. They could, if you remember, the Hawks couldn't score, and then they would somehow pull something out in the third period.
Yep.
But it was Corey that carried them to that point to even have the opportunity to win.
He was absolutely outstanding, and then that's what they needed early, especially with the young guys that they were bringing in last year and everything. So, but you can't just rely on that. You need him to be him, clearly, but. You know, that I actually wrote about that a couple of weeks ago, is how much are they going to lean on him in the first couple of weeks? And it's a dangerous thing to do because, you know, he's been there in the past, you know, and he's going to help to some degree for some of these kids breaking in this year. But, the points are critical. That's the one thing the Blackhawks didn't have to worry about in April.
Right.
My first year on the beat was them, you know, last game of the year and then waiting to see what Minnesota did back in 2011. That was interesting. They don't want to repeat that. But I have a feeling a lot of that is going to come down to Crawford because it did last year.
And to Anton Forsberg as well.
Yeah,
because
he was very good in camp.
Yeah,
very good.
Great camp, tough skates to fill with Scott Darling exiting. And let's face it, the last 2 years, there have been long stretches where Corey has been unable to go. Now, one was an appendectomy. The other was a foot injury after a stumble or what have you. And it was Scott Darling that held down the fort and, you know, saw 20 starts or so plus throughout the season.
Yeah.
They're going to need Forsberg to step in time to time. And as Joel pointed out, you know, with this travel schedule that they have with no, you know, circus trip, a lot of these trips are going to be like three-day trips, one game, but it's going to take 3 days to get there and get things going. I think they're going to count on Forsberg to really prop Corey up and, you know, and get them through this.
Yeah, and he had a couple of good games. And by the way, if this works again, Stan Bowman is officially goalie whisperer because they've done very well in this category.
Yeah.
I mean, they really have.
Ray Emery,
Antti Raanta, Scott Darling. So if he ends up being the next one, okay. And part of that, you can get it, because to get the backup gig here, to get that opportunity, I can imagine every guy looks at that and thinks, oh, man, I got to do the most with this. But I've liked, you know, the two games that I saw of Forsberg, really liked what you saw with him. Like you said, he moved very well. So, yeah, it's very solid, again, to start off. I think the Blackhawks, I'm pleasantly surprised at how that's setting up right now, because I wasn't sure with Forsberg. You didn't know that much about him, but it ain't looking too bad.
We got official word on Tuesday that Marian Hossa, the league, has said, you know, can go on long-term IR. So when the NHL league opens up on Wednesday, Hossa will be on the roster for a moment, and then he will be placed on long-term IR.
Yeah, I guess Quenneville said that he'd be on there tomorrow, but one way or another, he's going to be on there soon.
And so then they'll have his money to deal with, and then we would assume Cody Franzen will be one of the first chores that Stan has to do, come to terms with him.
I would think so, yes.
And then it's time to see. And I think, to me, the defense is the biggest question mark. You know, you lost Trevor Van Riemsdyk, you lost Nick Chalmerson, Brian Campbell as well. You now look at this defensive pairings, and, you know, it was – Keith and Seabrook who are together. You know, Keith's been with Connor Murphy most of the preseason, but for practice on Tuesday, and it's, as he said to us afterwards, it's consideration to have Keith and Seabrook 2-7 together opening night. That's going to be the biggest thing I'm looking at here to start the season, how the defensive pairings shake down.
Yeah, and I'm just a quick note on the pairings today. I'm kind of surprised that he's doing that now. You know, especially with Murphy and Keith, you've got, you know, a younger defenseman. And I actually talked with his former coach, Dave Tippett, about him the other day and how when Connor Murphy played with Oliver Ekman-Larsson, he just soaked up things like a sponge. And I thought that would have been good to keep them together. But, defense is a concern, I think, just for the fact that you have so many moving parts and you've got new guys and everything. And I understand why, to a degree, Q would want to go back to a pair he certainly knows. But what is the trickle-down effect for that is then all of a sudden you get really young really fast on the other pairings. So, you know, is it just a start and then you go back to the other ones? Again, you know, he'll switch those up. But, yeah, I was a little surprised to see that today.
He had Kempney and Murphy together on Tuesday. Jordan Osterley and Cody Franzen were together.
Yeah.
And then it was Forsling and Ruta that were a pairing. So has anybody from the unproven D-men jumped out from what you've seen in the preseason as somebody who's, you know, is it Forsling who's ready to make that next step? You know, where do you stand on what you've seen from Kempney and again, the new guys as well?
I like Ruta, not just as a quote, because he's funny. He's got a great personality, and the fact that the Bears turned him on to football and he likes it is a testament to
so he clearly
Bears.
Doesn't know about the game,
God
the NFL
him.
Game, if the Bears have turned him on. We'll work on that with Ruta.
Yeah.
But maybe he's Ruta-ing for the new Mitchell Trubisky era to start on Monday night. But I digress.
I like his attitude with the jump over to North America. Because he, you know, it's one of the big questions is always the ice surface and the dimensions and everything. He goes, you know, it's not so much about that. It's just about, you know, the matchups and having the confidence in yourself to go out there. And he has that. Coach Joe Quenneville is very big on this guy. You know, loves the fact that he just quietly goes about his business. With Forsling, you know, he has to jump. He has to make that jump. And I talked to him today. And one of the things he was telling me was that he read about the mental side of things this off season, and he couldn't remember the name of the book, and it was in Swedish anyway, so that does me no good. But he said last year was the first time ever that the mental side of it affected him. You know, doubt, lack of confidence, which is going to happen.
Sure.
Happens to everybody, but especially.
Interesting like, that, you know, he would be that forthcoming,
yeah.
You know, to say that.
Yeah. He, you know, he said, I just want to avoid getting into that again. And, you know, I know what I need to do. I feel good this season. So, you know, he got a big glimpse last year of what was expected. And, you know, the big thing with him is, okay, you had the great camp last year, but you can't plateau again. You know, because this is as good of an opportunity as some of these young guys are going to get. So, he sounds a lot more focused in terms of not just physically, but also mentally, which is a huge part of everything.
Everybody wants to know what Patrick Sharp at age 35 has left in the tank coming back to the team. I will tell you this, talking to him, he says physically he hasn't felt this good since he was with Team Canada.
Yeah.
He said he probably should have had that hip surgery done a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And he feels rejuvenated, mm-hmm. in great shape. He finished second in the fitness test.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Panik finished first. So you got all these young guys in the room, and the 35-year-old amongst forwards finished second. That's impressive. I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised what Sharp brings this go around with the Hawks.
Yeah, that was my biggest. I think that was a lot of people's biggest question was age coming off the hip surgery and everything, because all this stuff takes its toll, you know. I talked to him in Notre Dame last week, and he was saying how the first part of the rehab of this was just, it wasn't hard, it was just tedious,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you're basically learning walking and stooping and squatting 101 again because of getting the motion back in the hip. And he said, listen, I feel great right now, but I can't, you know, the way I took care of myself when I was 22 has got to be different than what I do now, he said. So you have to make adjustments. I'm not that young guy anymore, and I will have to keep an eye on things. And I feel great right now. We'll see what's going on in Game 70. Because
right.
a lot changes, and it's a long season. So, you know, the time he has spent in the league and him knowing what it's going to take will help also. You know, this is as tough of an injury and surgery he's ever had, but he's got the wherewithal and the mindset to know, okay, you know, I know what the limitations are, and right now everything is great, and if anything crops up, take care of it.
He, you know, for now, he's with Anisimov and DeBrincat on that third line. I'm sure we're going to see him maybe in game one with Schmaltz and Kane on that second line. One thing that stuck out from our conversation was, you know, he said, you know, after being here for a decade, you forget all the things that go into making a successful organization. And they said the trust he has now in coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
He said when he was with Dallas, he would be driving to the rink for a game. He's like, okay. He was like thinking as a coach, okay, what line am I going to be on? I'm going to be trying to shut down that line. I got to focus on that. Well, it's going to be a rough night. Mm-hmm. Things are going to be difficult. He said with Joel, he's like, I don't worry about that. I know he's already done the work, and he knows the team. You know, he understands DeBrincat. Let's not put him on the spotlight of the Kane line for
right.
the first game with a tough team. Let's bring him in easy. He said that trust factor, it allows him to just focus on playing hockey. And I think that's something, you know, we have overlooked. Just, you know, the fact that these guys don't have to worry about some of the other little things that go into making a successful team, because everything's kind of buttoned up top to bottom.
Yeah. Last year, and Sharp talked to this, I'm sure he said this to you too. I mean, last year was just a rough year down in Dallas, from stuff like that, from his injury, from his father being ill, from all the injuries that the Stars had, where you talk about trying to figure out a lineup.
Right.
I don't know how they did it. So, no. You know, there was no doubt he wanted to come back here. There's no doubt that the familiarity, it's apparently a hard word on a Tuesday, he's fallen right back in. And he's looked outstanding in camp. I mean, he really has. He looks happy.
Yeah.
It's one thing for a guy to say, you know, I'm happy and everything. Like he told me last week, he said, Trey, you've known me long enough. When I'm just having fun and being an idiot is when I play my best hockey. And right now he's having fun and, you know.
Being an idiot.
He said he was being an idiot. I did not make that very clear. But you can tell he's happy. It's not just something he's saying. It's visible.
All right, we're going to wrap up this Hawks Talk podcast with two items. I'm going to let you pick which one we do first. Biggest concern or your prediction on the year? What do you want to start with? Biggest concern or prediction?
Let's get the prediction out of the way, because I'm terrible at them.
All right. What your prediction on where the Hawks finish?
Ooh.
Are they a playoff team?
They are a playoff team, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Do you think where do you think they'll finish in the Central?
Ooh. You know, I'm trying to go through the Central teams in my head. I'm curious to see what Dallas does, only because now they've got the goaltending in
sure.
place. But
with Bishop,
with a Ken Hitchcock run team, does the offense go, you know, does he kind of slow it down? I'm not sure about Nashville. How do they respond off of, you know, the quasi hangover? St. Louis, Fabry's hurt. You know, I think the Blackhawks are top three. I don't know where they fit among the top three, but I think they get into the playoffs and they're still up there a little bit. And Minnesota, I never trust. God bless them, but I just, you never know what they're going to do year to year.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think they're either second or third in the division. Now, again, last year Nashville was fourth in the Central.
Exactly.
And that
just get in.
Yeah, just get in the dance. So I think they are, you know, like, it remains to be seen. I'm not going to hold us to playoff predictions right now. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I do think I feel better about this forward group than I did about last year's playoff group. And that was coming off a top seed finish in the West in the regular season. Mm-hmm. I think the potential is there more. I like that, like, you know, I like what John Hayden brings to the table. I like what DeBrincat does. I like what Saad is going to do, hopefully, to Taves. So, big picture wise, I think they're second or third in the Central. I think they're in the dance for sure. And I'll wait till we get into the season to see just how far I think they can go.
Yeah.
Last thing will be your biggest concern as we get ready to start the season.
I think it's the defense. I'm with you. With the forwards, I wasn't sure before camp started. And I wrote this last week. And all due respect to some of the veterans like Yurko, Tutu, they needed to move toward a future with their future.
Yep.
I think they're much better shape right now with some of those guys who bring not just the grit but also a little bit of skill. But I'm very interested to kind of see how the pieces of the defense go together. I think this is going to be the work in progress.
I totally agree. Honorable mention to my biggest concern will be centermen other than Taves, especially in the faceoff circle.
Yeah.
That's been an issue, but we'll look to see. Schmaltz has improved in that area. You know, Anisimov does the right things when it comes to net front presence, but has struggled at the dot.
Yeah.
And we'll see if Tanner Carroll can make the next step. Or if, you know, something like what we saw in the preseason, Sharp comes in to take a key draw, what have you.
Yeah.
So that's honorable mention as far as concern. But my biggest is the same as yours. It's defense. You know, you lose the heart and soul guy like Nick Jalmerson. They didn't technically replace him. They just didn't.
No.
And the one thing about the hosts of money is that, you know, they will have the flexibility to add a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of other, like, you can't go to the top four defenseman tree and just pluck one down. There's several teams that are also looking for a top four D-man.
Yeah.
So, you know, we will see how that shakes out, but let's just say they have the financial flexibility to add that piece when needed.
Yes.
So, you know, I think Connor Murphy's a five, and can he play top 4 minutes? We'll find out. And I'm ready to see, is Forsling and Ruta, you know, how viable are they? Is Kempney going to make the next step? You know, you know, Keith and Seabrook, you know, again, they're getting a little longer in the tooth, and just, you know, this is a speed sport. So how is everybody going to meld together? Because I don't think 2 and 7 are going to spend, you know, a bulk of the season together.
I wouldn't think so.
I'd be surprised, but we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
And it should be fun. Again, Thursday night, things kick off against the Pittsburgh Penguins. We are going to have coverage on NBC Sports Chicago beginning at 5:30 with the red carpet show as the Blackhawks make their way into the United Center. At 6 o'clock, they will have Sports Talk Live. David Kaplan and his crew will be live from 1901 West Madison. And that is followed by an hour-long pregame show, 6:30 to 7:30, taking you right up to puck drop between the Blackhawks and the Penguins. That'll do it for the Hawks Talk Podcast. Thank you for listening. For Tracy Myers, I'm Pat Boyle. Go Hawks, and we'll catch you next time.